You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Get to people, yeah.
What are you gonna
You are listening to African Perspectives, where we view the issues of our day from an African worldview and African-centered perspective. This program is unapologetically African. It is a custom in the African tradition to ask elders for permission to speak, having been granted permission. To our ancestors, whose shoulders we stand on, to our elders, whose shadows we walk in, I greet you, my dear brothers and sisters, in the language of one of the greatest civilizations on this planet. It gave the world the basic disciplines of knowledge of science, math, architecture, music, writing, law, religion, you name it, we did it. The Greeks called it Egypt, but they called themselves Kemet, and Kemet means land of the blacks. I greet you all in the Kemetic language, the word of peace, Hotep. It is truly an honor and a privilege to pour libation because we truly do stand on the shoulders of those who came before us. We're going to use water because water has no enemies. Water is the great cleanser, the great purifier. Everything on the planet that lives, it needs water, from a tiny microscopic organism to a tall redwood tree. We pour water into the earth to invoke the spirits of our ancestors, and we say the word Ashe, which simply means so be it. So we pour this libation to God, for all that God has done and for all that God will do. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to Mother Africa, birthplace of all humanity, everyone who has lived, everyone who will live in the future. We all have a common ancestral root in Africa. We pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. I mentioned Kemet in the opening. Kemet was the height, the apex, the zenith of African high culture. But there were others as well, as Timari, Punt, and Nubia. So we pour this libation to the classical civilizations of Africa. Say Ashe. We pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa, of Ghana, Mali, Songhai, Benin, Great Zimbabwe. Civilizations that were flourishing and growing while Europe was in a medieval or dark age. The University of Sankore at Timbuktu, an outstanding educational institution. So we pour this libation to the contemporary civilizations of Africa. We say Ashe. We pour this libation to the Ma'afa, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the Infakani, the great tragedy, uprooted out of Africa. Our brothers and sisters lay a carpet along the Atlantic Ocean. We're in North America, South America, Central America, and throughout the diaspora. So we pour this libation to our brothers and sisters who suffered the Ma'afa, the Infakani, the Holocaust of our enslavement, the great tragedy. We pour this libation in their honor and in their memory. We do not know their names, but because of them and their sacrifice, we are here. So we say Ashe. We pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. If you ever heard me do a libation, you will know that we were not slaves. I repeat, we were not slaves. We were captives. What does a captive want to do? Get free. So we pour this libation to all those men and women who fought against enslavement. In fact, I maintain that some of us are more of a slave today than we were in our initial captivity, because some of us are a slave to vice, to corruption, to drugs, sex, and violence. So we pour this libation to those who fought against enslavement. Gabriel Prosser, Nat Turner, Denmark Vesey, Harriet Tubman. We always resisted, and we will always resist. So we pour this libation in the name and in honor of those men and women who fought against our captivity. We pour this libation to those unborn, those young men and women who will once again lead us back on the stage of human history as a free and proud and productive people. We sashe. We pour this libation to brotherhood and sisterhood, together for the union of family. We need each other. we don't have good family life. There's a saying, conditions shape conduct and consciousness. The conditions in our community are bad. The conduct towards each other is not good. Because why? We lack consciousness. And consciousness is more than just awareness. Consciousness is a deeper understanding of who you are historically, who you are culturally. So once we begin to understand the importance of brotherhood and sisterhood together for the union of family. Brothers and sisters, let us all say, Ashe, Ashe.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Good morning, African world. You are listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. And I am your host, Brother Oshi. Hotep family, hope everything is well with you today. I hope that you're going to have, I hope you get a chance to do all the things you want to do, need to do, should do, must do, can do, will do, and I hope that the weather will be accommodating for you to do it. But if it's not, you'll get it done anyway. If you're fortunate to be here in the Southeast, the weather will be accommodating. It'll be almost 70 degrees today. Wow. I know. But in other parts of the country, it's, you know, it's tough. But that's what it is. And it's been made tougher by ignorance and stupidity by Europeans, specifically because they are the ones who are in control. So let's put the blame where it squarely belongs. Climate change is real. And climate change is going to have disastrous effects on this planet. And that's real. We'll talk about that in another program. We're here. This is African Perspectives. We're here every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. 10 to 12 Central, 9 to 11 Mountain, 8 to 10 Pacific, or any other time around the world. But if you cannot listen to this program live, please go to timeforanawakening.com. Look for the red, black, and green lion with Africa imposed. Click on and then follow that to the archives of previously recorded programs that are dated and titled. Other programs on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays, right after my program, and Acres of Diamonds was on, and they had Dr. Umar Johnson on again. It was a great program. I had a chance to listen to about half of them. So I was really happy with that, you know. And right after Acres of Diamonds, it's going to be Let's Buy Black 365 from Monday. Acres of Diamonds is from 6 to 8, and Let's Buy Black 365 is from 8 to 9 on Mondays. On Tuesday, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers. Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays, Revive with Sister PLC from 8 to 10. There is a program on Thursday. I got to get the information from Brother Elliot. I definitely got to do that. And there is a program on Thursday. That's an hour program. And then, of course, on Fridays, after my program, Sister Marcia will unveil her program for about an hour right after my program. Friday evening, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard from 8 p.m. until. And then Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore from 10 to 12 Eastern Time, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then Revive with Sister POC from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. That's right. It ain't me. It's her. Sister POC, Revive on Sunday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We Buy Black. WeBuyBlack.com. Get everything you need from American African-owned businesses at WeBuyBlack.com. The largest online marketplace for American African-owned businesses is WeBuyBlack.com. If you're in the Atlanta area, and you can make it over to the Greenbrier Mall right off of Georgia Highway 166, And you can check out WeBuyBlack.com. They have a kiosk there. And of course, the products that are sold by WeBuyBlack.com are produced by us. WeBuyBlack.com. Africa for the Africans. AfricaForTheAfricans.org. Brother Bomani Tayembe, he is going to take a group of our people once again to the motherland. Brother Bomani Tayembe can be called. You can give him a call at 404-931-9429. 404-931-9429 and find out for yourself what it may take for you to make that trip with Brother Bomani in May. And that's right, it's going to be May 22nd to June 4th, 14-day trip. From Atlanta to Accra, Ghana. The cost is $3,700. Outstanding accommodations, nice hotel, a nice touring bus, air conditioning, all of that kind of good stuff. So you're going to be in a good position if you take this tour. And once again, it is May 22nd to June 4th. So give Brother Bomani a call or go online, AfricaForTheAfricans.org, or email him, AFTA, which stands for Africa for the Africans, 2010@msn.com. So there's plenty of ways to get there. And if you want to see photos from previous tours, go to facebook.com/Bomani. If you want to see videos of previous tours, go to youtube.com/Bomani2007. That's right. There's other. He has two other trips as well. One in November to South Africa, to Johannesburg and Cape Town, November 22nd to December 2nd. And then there's another tour to Ghana before the year is out, December 24th through January 4th, 2020. You know? So that's going to be exciting as well. So whichever trip you want to take, he's got you. He's got you. 2020, man. Rip and come. Years don't mean nothing. They're all the same. Everything's the same, brothers and sisters. It's the same. And we want to... Shrine of the Black Madonna. Located in the West End here in the Atlanta area on Ralph David Abernathy Boulevard. The number to call is 404-549-8676. And at the Shrine, you can get your shop on. They have clothing, furniture, artwork, statues, Kwanzaa kits, the red, black, and green shoes, the Nazgat shoes, the red, black, and green shoes. They also have a museum. They also provide education and information at the Shrine. The Shrine is open from Wednesday through Saturday from 12 noon to 7 p.m. and on Sunday from 1 to 3. They also on Saturday have a class every Saturday, free and open to the public from 1:30 to 3:30, Know Thyself. And that class is instructor, my brother Olatunji. And they also provide, if you can't make that class and you want that history, you want that knowledge, it's there for you. They have a multimedia library that you can get, that you can buy. Over 15,000 video files, over 15,000 images, over 40,000 audio files, and over 2,000 books. It is, brothers and sisters, 4.5 terabytes of African enlightenment. Check it out. Another bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, right by the kiosk of We Buy Black, is Medu Bookstore. Medu means writing. After Medu is the word Netcher. Netcher means gods, the writing of the gods. That's what the Greeks call hieroglyphs. They were called the Medu Netcher. And the Medu Bookstore in the Greenbrier Mall, if you go there, it's a beautiful bookstore. And if they don't have the book you want, they'll get it for you. Just like the Shrine. If the Shrine doesn't have the book that you want, they'll get it for you. They've done it for me, both of them. Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore in Lithonia, my good brother, Kazimde Ajamu. He was getting his party on this past weekend at the Stepper set and looking good doing it too, man. He had some nice outfits on. I got to give it to you, brother Jamu. You were looking great, dear brother. And the number to call at the Black Dot Cultural Center and Bookstore is 404-519-8107. 404-519-8107. And he has the red, black, and green shoes. And if he doesn't have the book that you wish or looking for, he'll get it for you, believe me. Us Lifting Us. Us Lifting Us, an economic development cooperative for our people in the spirit of Ujamaa, or as we like to say, family-centered economics. Us Lifting Us, our conference is coming up next month. You'll be knowing more about it, and I'll get Baba Akima on to talk about the importance of Us Lifting Us. And, of course, go online, brothers and sisters, to usliftingus.com. They have their program tomorrow night, their Thursday night broadcast from 9 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern for Us Lifting Us. You can find out more about it and become a member. And the number to call is 929-477-2789. 929-477-2789 for Us Lifting Us. Also, too, because Us Lifting Us is a cooperative, we pulled our monies together and we formed a co-op. We have now Cafe Ulu. Cafe Ulu, located 2036 Sylvan Road in the Sylvan Plaza, 2036 Sylvan Road here in Atlanta, open Monday 11 a.m. to 7 p.m., Tuesday through Friday 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., Saturday and Sunday 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., and we sell coffee. We have Cameroon, which is my favorite. Cameroon Boyo is delicious coffee, brothers and sisters. You should buy some. Go online and look at the things that are for sale and, you know, and do a number of things. Buy the coffee at Cafe Ulu, CafeUlu.com, CafeUlu.com, CafeUlu.com. That's right. Cameroon, Tanzania, Kenya, Ethiopia. Yesterday had some Kenyan coffee. And they had their jam session last night. A young brother, must have been, man, I don't know, 20 years old. And another young brother came through too. He was in middle school playing instruments. It's a jam session. If you are a musician and you want to go jam with some brothers and sisters, come to Cafe Ulu on Tuesday night. That's right. 6 o'clock, 7, whatever, and get your jam on. Good job last night, brothers and sisters. Cafe Ulu. Also, we sell at Cafe Ulu Ambrosia, the drink of the gods, created by Brother Novak Young. Ambrosia. That's right. It containing all drinks in Ambrosia contain alkaline water, ginger, turmeric, organic cane sugar, and chlorophyll. Also, hibiscus, cinnamon, aloe vera, cayenne, and spirulina. Delicious drinks by good brother, Brother Novak Young. Brother Novak Young. This past Monday, I was honored to have Baba Baruti on the program. And we talked about the Akabin Institute and Akabin House's 20th anniversary celebration. It is this Saturday from 12 noon to 6 p.m. at the Sweet Spot, 675 Metropolitan Parkway here in Atlanta. It is east of the West End on Abernathy. Abernathy will intersect with Metropolitan Parkway. Make a hard right, because if you make a little slight right, you'll stay on Abernathy. Make the hard right, you'll be on Metropolitan Parkway, and the building is right there, so you can't miss it. Akabin Institute, if you want to send a check, make it out to Akabin Institute, and you send it to P.O. Box 10786, P.O. Box 10786, Atlanta, Georgia, 30310. But you also can do to go to PayPal and Yah Baruti, PayPal. And paypal.me/ Akabin Village. There's ways to do this. And believe me, brothers and sisters, if you believe in the work like I do, that Baba Baruti and Yah Baruti are doing, preparing our young men and women, not to beg anybody for nothing, but to be true warriors, to be real African men and women that have a love for themselves, a love for each other, a love for our community, a love for the African world, then that's what you need to do. Like I have done. I give once a month. I'm not anything special. I'm just saying I support Baba Baruti. I support Renoko Rashidi. I support Anthony Browder. I support Us Lifting Us. I support the things that I feel and I know will help benefit African people. Inye Sesim, the daily revolutionary thoughts of Inye Sesim. I must read yesterday's because yesterday is somebody special to me. And that is, we'll hear it, February 26th. The race needs workers, not leaders. Let me repeat. The race needs workers, not leaders. We need warriors. Carter Godwin Woodson, Dr. Carter G. Woodson. Reafricanization is the process whereby we take what we are learning through the submersion and submission into the lessons of our story and begin to apply it to ourselves in an effort to change ourselves from what we have been forced to imitate and exaggerate into our true selves, our ancestors. It is a process fought with difficulty and hardship because our mental side has an extensive root system and logically connects everything we formerly thought and believed to be absolutely true. The anti-African crusade coming from without and within to keep us de-Africanized assaults us from every angle and virtually every thought to the point where it is sometimes overwhelming. But once we know we are African, and once we recognize we are not European, nothing Eurasian brings can stop us from being who we are. Re-Africanization is the process whereby we raise into our African selves. We begin the conscious collective process of changing our environment to match our growing awareness of how an African world would and should feel in this time and place. As we think, we become. Reafricanization is a personal transformation. We actually become our ancestors. And with time and elevation of significant numbers of Africans into consciousness, it becomes a communal transformation. Affirm, I am a Reafricanized worker. Affirm, I am a Reafricanized worker. February 27th. Whoever is unconcerned with his lineage has lost his mind. Whoever neglects his origin, his stupidity has become critical. Whoever is unaware of his ancestry is in. Whoever has unaware of his ancestry, his comprehension has become immense. 15th century Timbuktu poem. From the 15th century, 1400s, a Timbuktu poem. Timbuktu was Mali. We have to stop equating the idea of what is modern with that of progress. The changes people produce over time to enhance their knowledge, comfort, and sense of security are primarily technological in nature, i.e. simply different ways of doing what has always needed to be done. They're not changing what needs to be done, only how what needs to be done is done. Technology is technology. When it comes to technology, the true measure of importance is the spirit of its application. We have to stop creating erroneous parallels between the idea of advanced technology and the so-called Western genius, making them necessarily one and the same. And we have to overcome our fixation on modern, as if it's anything other than a Eurocentric temporal designation, as if it's anything other than a Eurocentric word, temporal designation, as if it is anything other than a Eurocentric word. We have to stop equating the temporary world order with a liberating, progressive superiority and the past with a stifling, regressive inferiority. Ashe. Affirm, I am a carrier of African cultural technology. Affirm, I am a carrier of African cultural technology. Whoever is unconcerned with their lineage has lost their mind. And boy, have we lost our mind. Whoever neglects his origins, his stupidity has become critical. Whoever is unaware of his ancestry, his incompetence has become immersed. Wow. Ashe. The Calendar of Revolutionary Daily Thoughts, the Inye Sesim, Baba Baruti. Speaking of Baba Baruti, it was great to have him on the program. We'll have him again. But what we're going to do today is pay tribute to a sister, Sister Queen Ifama. It was because of a Queen Ifama that I'm on this program. We were trying to get a radio program in our community, because one of the stations that we relied on, and there were two. There's two stations owned by American Africans, one by Gerald Jones, WNOV 860 AM, and the other owned by Willie Davis, former Green Bay Packer, Hall of Famer, has all-pro broadcasting. And at that time, it was WMCS, 1290 AM. Well, something happened with WMCS. I believe, as they said to me, that Willie Davis lost a vote. And they're going to change the programming. They will no longer have an all-talk format and change the programming. And so one morning when my good friend, a brother who now is an ancestor, Brother Eric Vaughn, Miss Eric Vaughn, good brother. When Eric Vaughn made his transition, man, that was tough. But anyway, Eric Vaughn did his program. Once his program was over, there was silence. Now, we all know that, you know, you should not have silence over an extended period of time on radio or on television for that matter. There's the issue, you know, should be a matter of just a few seconds at the most. But there was silence. When broadcasting resumed, there was Elvis Presley music. And I'm like, damn, you know. So not only did the European Jew, who was the general manager, and I, from what I understand, to me, I believe it was instrumental, just one of the voices, and other Caucasians who worked with Willie Davis, with All Pro Broadcasting, to change the format of 1290 WMCS. And MCS stood for Milwaukee's Community Station. You know? And so in February, they took the station and started playing 24/7 Elvis Presley music. So to take the station is, you know, is a serious injury. But to add insult to it, they played Elvis Presley music. I was like, damn. So the community got together through the leadership of Brother Nate Stampley, who now is a resident of Belize. Brother Nate Stampley, appreciate you. Really do. Got together and we all formed Motherland Media. And we were trying to get money up to get a station. In fact, I was broadcasting on a local station, paying a gospel station to broadcast on Fridays for an hour or so, something like that. But anyway, so we tried to get a station through Google Hangouts and so forth. And then Queen Ifama, we had a discussion and we went with Blog Talk because we just couldn't get it up and running. We went with Blog Talk. She had been on Blog Talk before. So we were Motherland Media. And so she helped us immensely. Believe me, I would not be in this position if it were not for my good friend, dear friend, Queen Ifama. And in fact, she made three outstanding PowerPoint presentations that I've done and will continue to do. And I thank her for it. In fact, I just did one when I was in Richmond, Virginia on Ancient Kemet. You know, she put that PowerPoint together, one on slavery and on imaging, on images. And so we went on Blog Talk and I was in Milwaukee in February of 2016. And we were supposed to meet. And when I called her, she didn't sound good at all. But she said, I'm not feeling good and let's meet another day. I called her that day. It was within a week. When that week was Wednesday. I called it again, I think the next day or Thursday. She said, no. So I didn't think about it. I thought maybe I'll let her rest this weekend and catch up with her next week because I was still going to be in Milwaukee at that time. A brother called me. In fact, it was Brother Earl Butler, the owner of Personalities, an African-centered shop, and his son, Ajimu Butler. Good brother, 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 heal the hood. So Brother Earl called me and said, have you heard about Queen Ifama? This is in the evening. I said, no. I mean, I just seen something on Facebook saying my mom said this, that, saying somebody said that my mom, you know, appreciates this, that, and the other. And I was like, wow, I'm not sure who I called. I know I probably called her, probably didn't get the answer, but eventually I did. And they said, yeah, she died that Saturday, February 27th, 2016. And I was, I was floored. I was on my way to a party for my ex. It was her birthday. Her birthday's the 21st, but she had a party on the 27th. Wasn't in a very celebratory mode, but you get into it. But I kept thinking about Sister Queenie Fama, and then I kind of said to myself, man, if only I would have. You know, you do that sometimes, you know, you say, only if I would have done this or been insistent or just said, hey, I'm coming to, you know. But see, one thing I know about Queen, you know, that kind of stuff really don't work. You can't, you know, you can't bully her. In fact, if it ain't going the way that she feels it should go or how it should go, and the cooperation is not there, she ain't going to be involved. She'll quit and not go back. And you probably can't even encourage or coerce her to go back. You know, that's how she was. Man. So so what was also unusual was the fact that her daughter, and she said that her mom didn't want anything to happen in Chicago, didn't want anything to happen here. And so it was just that she just passed. Well, you know, we in the community who loved her and loved her work and loved to work with her like I did and considered her a dear friend, you know, no, that just can't happen. We have to honor a sister who has done so much in our community. So many of us got together in Milwaukee with Sister Josephine Hill, who is the director at the African American Women's Center, and then Tony and Zakiya Courtney and Sister Aurelia Mosley and, you know, Alfonso Watkins, good brother Alfonso Watkins. Sister Rain True provided, who is the cultural vegan, provided the food for us that day. Brother Ajumu Butler. Melissa Blue with spoken word. Idi Kola. Beautiful Idi Kola Adadapu. Akinyomi Courtney and his drum group. I mean, just great. I mean, Silverine. All of them came on board to put together the Milwaukee Times, Milwaukee Courier, put together a memorial program. The memorial program was April 17th, 2016 at the African American Women's Center. And her obituary read, Queenie Fama Jackson was born January 26, 1953, to parents Esther Lowe and Josephine Blunt in Chicago, Illinois. Queenie Fama studied and received her GED like I did. That's why we're like good spirits. She did continuing studies and completed her formal education. She moved to New Orleans in her early 20s and then later returned to Chicago. Upon returning, she adopted her daughter, Maxine Givens, and raised her to adulthood. Maxine was a great joy in her life. Queenie Fama Uchinfuna shared her talents at Milwaukee Public Schools, MPS, as a grant writer for many years and then retired. After retirement, she began to realize her talent for working with her hands. This became her passion and success as Earth and Ocean Jewelry. Her beautiful one-of-a-kind pieces of jewelry were on display in many venues. In fact, her jewelry was on display and being sold at her memorial. Queenie Fama also hosted a show on Motherland Media, the Motherland Media Network. She was known as the truth terrorist, and her views and opinions belonged to her. Believe me. Ifama was a caretaker. She definitely was a great person with a beautiful spirit and a creative soul. She is preceded in death by her grandparents, Ida Youngblood Webb and Eddie Ford, Aunt Sedona Williams, two nieces, Jasmine and Jeriba Lowe. She leaves to cherish her memories, her husband, Lewis Jackson, their daughter, Maxine Givens, sister, Anita Lewis Winston, Joy Abigail Applewhite, Priscilla Lowe, nieces Brandy, Chanel Molden, Minna Denise, and Tamika
Maribel and Portia Marie, Mercedes Cataway, and nephews Charles Griffin. Queenie Fama also leads a host of uncles, aunts, nieces, nephews, community friends, liaisons in Chicago and Milwaukee. And the family gives thanks. But let me read. The following is a statement by Fama that she submitted for the 12 Shades of Beauty calendar. The 12 Shades of Beauty calendar. She wrote this January 16th of 2016. The beauty of Ifama. One day, I took a step back and started to look at myself to finally address my fears and traumas. I bought books. I listened to poems. I wrote in journals, and I still do. I talked to myself and questioned myself. I learned self-discernment. Every aspect of everything I learned from the knee of my mother to present, I examined and self-examined with a critical eye. It was only then that I found my voice. I know what I need, and I demand it. I know what I want, and I ask for it. I have thoughts, and I share them. I talk. I share my gifts to all who want to partake of them, free of charge. I found inside of me one of the most powerful creatures on the planet, a creation of the universe herself, the gift called woman, and I love her. Queen Ifama. Man, missed that sister. You're gonna hear Queen Ifama's voice. You know, there's two people she loved. And also, I was gonna play Brother LaRue Ned's book, Black Laws. Black Laws, that Queen Ifama, I believe she read online, but there's so much stuff that Queen had online. She really did. Man, she has a lot. So if you can at your spare time and would love to and like to like I do, just go to YouTube, put in Queen Ifama, I-F-A-M-A, I-F-A-M-A. Put in Queen Ifama and you'll get a plethora of all kinds of good gems and stuff, anywhere ranging from a few minutes to over an hour of Queen Ifama talking to. In fact, I'm going to play two of them. I'm going to play one because there's two people that I know she loved. One, Dr. Amos Wilson. She loved Dr. Amos Wilson, Blueprint for Black Power and so forth. The other is our Monday guest, Baba Mwalimu Baruti. In fact, she helped bring Baba Baruti to Milwaukee at the African American Women's Center. And that's where I really met Baba Baruti. So there's a long interview she did with Baba Baruti, but I'm going to take about one segment of it, which is about 40 minutes, and play in the second half of the program. But I want to play this one here with The Falsification of African Consciousness by Dr. Amos Wilson, and having the presenter is Queen Ifama.
Peace, everybody. This is Queen Ifama, and I wanted to, you know, talk a little bit about Black consciousness and African consciousness, because I, you know, think that Black consciousness, in my opinion, is just a precursor to African consciousness, because in Black consciousness, you become aware of your connection to African people historically, and you begin to recognize certain aspects of the African mind as well as the European mind, and how we've been conditioned to have the same values that the European has, and ways of doing things to be able to attain those values, you know, to maintain those values rather. And so one of the greatest teachers I've ever had and who still is, even though he's in the ancestor realm, is Dr. Amos Wilson. And one of the first books that I literally cut my black consciousness teeth on was The Falsification of African Consciousness, Eurocentric History, Psychiatry, and the Politics of White Supremacy, that was written by Dr. Amos Wilson. And, you know, when I think back, back in the 60s, I was aware of who I was as a black woman. That was the beginning of my black consciousness. I became aware that black people were subjugated, that black people were, you know, literally cast to the bottom realm of the social order here in America, and even as we look on the continent, even there as well, even though we may see black leadership, that black leadership has been influenced by their colonizers. So Dr. Amos Wilson, in his book, and I want to share with you a passage out of the book, out of the second lecture, which was entitled The Political Psychology of Black Consciousness. He stated that the participant in African-centered therapeutic and educational encounters discovers how he has been unconsciously conditioned by a Eurocentric system. And I'm going to stop right there, because this is when you begin to do the analysis. Now you're moving into African consciousness, whereas prior you were in black consciousness, which means you were aware of the fact that you were black. You're aware of, you know, all the aspects of being black, as far as how you look, how you talk, and certain things like that. But when you move into African consciousness, you become aware of your values, and especially your modes of behavior. He goes on to say that, let me see, where did I stop off? He goes on to say that he's been unconsciously conditioned by a Eurocentric system to respond habitually and unthinkingly to its social cues, to Eurocentric authorities and social contexts, which induce him to perceive, think, feel, and behave in certain ways. This is how you can see how people can say one thing and do another. It's because they have not begun to do that total analysis of self, as far as them being black people, you know, and African people in the overall African people. He also says that how he has been cued to avoid perceiving, thinking, feeling, and behaving in certain ways. How his Eurocentric consciousness, the source of his domination, is but a state of unconsciousness representing itself as consciousness.
I see you.
Eurocentric consciousness, the mortal enemy of African-centered consciousness, which it displaces and represses, imposes on its African hosts the dream states of sleepwalkers and somnambulistic wanderers in the dark of the night. So, you know, you have to always be aware of your thoughts. And that's when we go back to Ma'at, is being aware of your thoughts and having control of your thoughts. He also goes on to say that a major educative, therapeutic, and politically liberating milestone is reached in African-centered therapy and education when the participants, be they labeled normal or abnormal, conformists or deviants, become poignantly aware of how the various institutions and practices which define Eurocentric culture are utilized to control African people's minds and behavior, prevent Africans from developing the social skills and knowledge necessary for them to be masters of their own destiny, foster the kinds of behavioral ineptitudes and deviations often labeled as deficient, antisocial, or mental illness, maintain African unawareness of the social games and rules by which that culture transforms and dominates African consciousness and behavior, condition Africans to avoid thinking and behaving in ways which expand their self-consciousness and behavioral repertoire, impair Africans' ability to master their own conduct, increase their own self-reliance and self-sufficiency, impair their ability to acquire the intellectual and social skills, the critical intelligence to solve problems of their lives, the material and capacities to determine their own future intelligently. And that is so key. What Dr. Wilson is saying here is because when you have to move from quote unquote black consciousness to African consciousness, because African people had a certain way, mode, or method of thinking and behaving. The things that we see today, the discrepancies, the what we call hypocritical ways of doing things, those are signs that we're still in a Eurocentric mindset. And we have to be very, very cognizant of the fact that we have to move into a African consciousness. He says that at the beginning of the passage, what I just read, he says, when the participants, that means that you are actively participating in the development of your consciousness. You see what I'm saying? You move from the rhetoric of understanding, you know, talking about history, talking about the current conditions of African people and the causes of those conditions. You move from that into a mindset where you are now able consciously to be able to change your value system, change your behavior. This is when you move into a African mindset. As long as we stay stuck in black consciousness, we will always maintain the behaviors and ways of solving problems of the European. Quick fixes are the way of the European. You see what I'm saying? So we have to move from the black conscious state to the African conscious state. And, you know, as African people here in America, we are reinventing who we are as African people, not as just black people, but as African people. Now, I guess, you know, some would say, well, you know, Africa is a continent. Yes, Africa is a continent, but there was a overall moral attitude of African people that differed greatly from those of the European. He goes on to say that African peoples can best successfully counter the hegemonic interests of Eurocentric society by reclaiming their African-centered consciousness, identity, and social interests, by founding their consciousness and behavior on a current, on an accurate perception of and respect for reality and a passionate love of truth, on a knowledge and acceptance of their African heritage, a dedicated passion to achieve and maintain conscious, thoughtful, voluntary self-control, their ability to first love themselves, to maintain affectionate relationships and positive regard among themselves, the achievement of a collective, cooperative, unifying consciousness and behavioral orientation, and on the ability to engage in productive.
We're going to stop there. And I just want to say that I can't help but love and respect and admire Queenie Fama for what she brought to the table. She is truly a dear friend, and she is truly greatly missed. And I'm going to go to a break, and I'm going to play two songs that the Queen hit me to, and that was Shabless and Fight Back. That was one of the songs that I played early on when we were at Black Talk. And the other is Gary Taylor. Gary Taylor's outstanding music, good collaborations, and this song, Loving My People. So we're going to play these two songs in honor of Queen Ifama. When we come back, go to the phones, and then I'll try to get that piece in with Baba Baruti. She's speaking on Safu, which is the warrior book that Brother Baba Baruti wrote. And like I said, she brought Baba Baruti to Milwaukee many, many years ago. And that's how I connected with him. And if you listen to Monday's program, you know that we have a very good connection, a very respectful connection with each other. And I appreciate that. You know, I admire and respect him as a man and as a husband, as a father, and as a man that leads this community in the right direction. He is about what I am about, which is independence, self-determination, liberation, and sovereignty for African people. Brothers and sisters, this is a tribute to my dear friend, Sister Queen Ifama. And you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network, on timeforanawakening.com, and blacktalkradionetwork.com. We'll be right back. This is Shabless Fight Back, followed by Gary Taylor, Loving My People. We'll be right back.
You are listening to African Perspectives with host Brother Oshi on Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasting or live program scheduling, hit them up at timeforanawakening@gmail.com.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. This is Girl Shot Blast, and I'm back in the building. Ah.
Choose, we believe it. If the crook was a cook, we never look, we just eat it. Got us like paraplegics, frozen stiff and depleted. Body bagged by the wayside, history we repeat it. Yeah, they don't like the Kennedys. We all public enemies. The program's satanic, tapping into our energies. They will super soaker, call themselves black and noble. Their position is global, so our transition is vocal. It all start with the churches. Killer bees be the workers. Missionaries, they carry the wickedness to usurpers. They all hate us and bait us. Their name is educators. Religion's intimidators, so we worship and invaders. They agree to a betting. Bloodline is pathetic. Loyalty to the royalty, second cousin to wedding. Guillotine to behead them, yes, the queen has said it. Elohim's the legend, away your sisters and brethren. How do you like that?
Yeah, we like that.
Ready to fight back?
Ready to fight back.
But they don't like that?
No, they don't like that.
The power be in my people and power strike back.
Awaken, can't you feel the earth shaking? We arousing 1,144 acres. No, we ain't paper chasers, more like movers and shakers. Bringing the sentence with vengeance to Mother Earth on a cake. From niggas to niggas, from rednecks to wiggers. When they try to come get us, they using your public figures. Concentrated to campus, microchip is the samples. Unity is the key, connecting all the bandanas. Your televisions and cameras, so don't switch to the box. Microphones in your home, whether you like it or not. No, we ain't overcoming, we just slumming and bumming. They recognizing your third eye is your second coming.
I do you like that?
Yeah, we like that.
Ready to fight back?
Ready to fight back.
But they don't like that?
No, they don't like that.
The power be in my people and power strike back. Yeah.
So you look for Houdini. I study Kundalini. Raising up through my vertebrae till I seen the genie. So if your chakras are open, know that you are the chosen. 144,000 around the spell has been broken.
Shout bless. Are you prepared to stand up for the liberation of your people?
I am.
Are you willing to fight against the wickedness and evil of this present day system?
I am. Wait a minute, Shabless. We saved your people. We brought you over here from Africa. We gave you a new name, a new culture, a new language, a new religion, a new God. So what do you say to that?
Fuck you.
So power be in my people against the forces of evil. Got you looking for paradise through eyes of the needle. So as you look for Houdini, I study Kundalini. Rising up through my vertebrae till I see the genie.
I know you like that.
Yeah, we like that.
Ready to fight back.
ready to fight back.
But they don't like that.
No, they don't like that.
The power be in my people, the power strike back.
Yeah.
Fucking battered and bruised, man. We lost in confusion. Believe in illusion, so no revolution could take place till you erase the false face that you embrace. Carrying loads of dead weight, we displace. All over this earth cursed with hate, still bowing down to masters who burn and castrate. We so divine, spiritual slaves, deaf and blind, been intertwined. Can recognize your black signs. You think not, so we rock braids and twist knots. That's not ether, galaxy rays and equinox. The soul seeker, astro signs, we need the clock. The age of February is on shifts and rise.
So you like that?
Yeah, we like that.
Ready to fight back?
Ready to fight back.
But they don't like that?
No, they don't like that.
The power be in my people, the power strike back.
Yeah.
So you like that?
Brothers and sisters,
like that. Ready to
it
fight
is definitely
back.
The time. Against us, they're trying to take us down. But you must realize if you tap into your energies that they tried to keep you from, the ancestors, they have the plan. I'm calling on the ancestors. The ancestors. Come on, come on, come on. That's black science.
Now do you like that?
Yeah, we like that.
I'm ready to fight back.
Ready to fight back.
But they don't like that.
No, they don't like that.
My people and power strike back.
Yeah.
Sister coming up the walkway, dressed down in a braid. Brothers with their afros taking center stage, watching as this culture slowly comes of age, with a mind of its own, yeah. Mothers out in the yard hanging up her clothes, fathers playing with the kids, keeping them on the go, neighborhoods beating on the heart of its soul. And that's where my feelings live. Cause I love my people. The way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Said I love my people.
I love.
Soul from the stove. Straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow. And I'm loving my people. Teachers off in the classroom giving up the love. Supported by that mom and dad who want that special touch. Little acts of kindness prove to mean so much. When we give what we know. Kitchen pots are banging, smell of soul food fills the air. You walk past the neighbor's house wishing you had dinner there. Better times for living when people seem to care about that place where they grow. That's why I love my people. The way they let it go on a dance floor. Nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Said I love my people.
I love.
Soul from the stove, straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow. Yeah, I'm loving my people. Folks gather at the church early Sunday morn. Openly they sing and praise and gospel music's born. God gave us love enough with spirits free to run. Why can't we learn to love ourselves like we're the chosen ones? Call me, let me know how your life is doing good. Tell me how the blessings flow through the neighborhood. Share with me that time of feelings understood in that place we call home. 'Cause I love my people the way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. Straight to the kitchen table. My heart's full of love, spirits in the flow. And I'm loving my people. Said I love my people. I love the way they let it go on the dance floor. Ain't nobody gonna do it like us, no. I'm loving my people. That I'm loving my, I love, soul from the stove, straight to the kitchen table. Can't nobody do it like us now. I'm loving my people. Say that I'm loving my.
You are listening to Time for an Awakening Media, part of the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts or live programming, hit them up at timeforanawakening.com.
Welcome back, brothers and sisters. Once again, you're listening to African Perspectives here on the Motherland Media Network on timeforanawakening.com and blacktalkradionetwork.com. The lineup on Time for an Awakening Media on Mondays from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m., Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, it's me, Brother Oshi. On Mondays in the evening from 6 to 8 p.m. Eastern is Acres of Diamonds, Public Affairs Programming. And then right after Acres of Diamonds is We Buy Black 365 from 8 to 9. On Tuesdays, Black Reality Think Tank with Dr. William Rogers from 8 to 10. On Wednesdays from 8 to 10, Revive with Sister POC. On Thursdays on Black Talk Radio, on Blog Talk Radio on Thursdays, Us Lifting Us. ULU, the Economic Development Cooperative for Our People in the Spirit of Ujamaa. Cooperative Economics, as we like to say, Family Center Economics, and their Thursday night broadcast, 9 p.m. The number to call is 929-477-2789. That's tomorrow night. Please do. On Friday, if it's Friday and it's 8 p.m. Eastern, that's right, brothers and sisters, it's Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. Saturday Sports Talk with Troy Wilmore, 10 a.m. to 12 noon. And then Revive with Sister PLC, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. on Sunday. And then Sunday evening, 7 p.m., Time for an Awakening with Brother Elliot and Brother Richard. And, of course, the number to call is 215-490-9832. 215-490-9832. We are honoring Sister Queen Ifama. We are paying respects to a ancestor who is a dear friend and somebody who was instrumental in helping this program develop and others. And I played for you Shabless. I never heard of Shabless until I got a hold of it from Queen Ifama. Yep. And then Gary Taylor, Loving My People. And, of course, the opening song, my opening, is a Gary Taylor cut as well. And so we're going to go to the phone lines. 404-404. Good afternoon. Well, good morning to you, 404. 404-507. 404-507. Okay, well, maybe he still just or she wants to listen, and that could be the deal. And so we'll continue in that way. I tell you.
Can you hear me?
We sure can now. How you doing, okay, there, brother?
I didn't push the right button.
Okay, then. How you doing? It's Brother LaRue, Brother LaRue Ned, Black Laws.
Black Laws. Man, I think it's proper, man, to do a tribute to Queen Ifama. You know, every so often I'll think about her, man. I got her her picture up on my wall. And any clipboard. Anyway, but I remember, man, she had She called me one time. Matthew had gave her my phone number because she wanted to talk to me because I had been writing for the Courier.
That's right. And then, yeah.
Right. So that's in the, so anyway, she wanted to read some of my stuff on one of her programs. That's.
Oh, anyway, man. No, that's an honor, isn't it, man? That's a tribute, no doubt.
Really, for real, yeah. Man, it tripped me out because I was kind of in a slump at the time. And I hadn't done anything, man, for a long time. I wasn't getting the support that I needed at the time. And, man, just out of the blue, she called me. I didn't know who she was. And, so she called me and said she wanted to read one of my works. And I'm like, yeah, okay, that's fine. And, man, she went to work on it, man. She made CDs and put labels on it, man. It looked so good. And it really rejuvenated me, man.
Right on. Exactly. And that's how she was. She did stuff to detail. Well, that's why after she retired from Milwaukee Public Schools, she started her jewelry. And her jewelry was selling because of the detail and the craftsmanship and the artistry of what she did. Those three PowerPoints I have, they're something that are very special to me that she helped develop for me. Sitting down at her house. And going over that many nights, you know, trying to put this in, that in. And you know, I mean, Sister Ifama was a stickler for detail.
Exactly, exactly, exactly. And accurate with her words, mm-hmm. No doubt. In fact, we both was over there over her apartment not too long before she passed. And we was working on some stuff. And she was showing, got on that computer and show you different stuff, man. I'm like, oh,
right.
My goodness. And so I just wanted to say, I really miss her too, man. Yeah. I really do.
Yeah.
I really do.
No doubt about it. In fact, you know, she passed before we transitioned over to Time for an Awakening Media. We were on Blog Talk. You know, in fact, she's the one to help us get on Blog Talk and to make sure everything was running right. Oh, man, she was invaluable. And
yeah, she was genius. In fact, you could call her genius, no doubt.
Well, she surely was multi-talented. She was truly multi-talented, man. That sister, yes, man, you know. And I know we had talked about both of our upbringing because, you know, she got a GED, had trouble this, that, and other. It's the same with me and so forth, you know. So we were truly like good spirits together, man. And I really respected and admire Queen Ifama, man. In fact,
right.
Like I said, the stuff that she did for me, man, it was invaluable. And I still today, brother, and I probably will forever, you know, say, why didn't I, when I was in town, I came to town that February doing some programs and so forth and was supposed to meet up with her and do some things about the program. And she was sick and she sounded pretty sick at the time and said, nah, brother Oshi, not today. This was a Wednesday. We're supposed to meet. And I called her back the next day, how she was doing. And then she said the same. So I didn't call her after that. And then I got that call from Brother Earl from Personalities who said, Dad, you heard about Ifama. And then I started making calls. And then it was confirmed that she had passed that Saturday, February 27th, 2016. And wow. You know.
Right.
And then it was said by her daughter that they didn't want to do anything, that she didn't want anything done. And here in Milwaukee, we were like, well, I mean, you know, a memorial, a funeral is not for the dead. It's for the living. Exactly. You know, your ass is dead. Well, I should say, excuse me, like that. but it's for us to memorialize you. So for us to show you how much we loved you, how much you'll be missed, how much you contributed to our community in such a great positive way. So that's for us.
And her ceremony clearly demonstrated, man, that she was loved by the community.
Oh, no doubt. The place was packed. It was packed. They had many people coming up there giving testimony and so forth. It was great.
Man, it was great. I have to believe that they say that nobody goes before their time. And so I don't know. I can't say that if she was ready to go or not. But I do have to believe that she's still in the spirit world doing what she was doing on Earth. And I had to believe that. And I still, when I think she's still encouraging me, at least even now as we speak and as I write. And so anyway, so maybe that's, maybe she just went to a higher level so that she could do greater work.
Yeah. Well, she's, well, I mean, she's still, I'm quite sure for those who go on YouTube, you can go on, once again, you can go on YouTube and there is a ton of stuff on YouTube with Queen Ifama talking about this subject or that subject, showing her artistry and so forth. Yeah, because she made a video of her workstations and how she does stuff. I mean, she was off into it. In fact, there is no doubt that if she was still alive, I would be on YouTube myself doing this broadcast. Right. So I'm gonna get my brother Kwaku together, man, and we're gonna try to do a podcast like that in the very near future. And I would dedicate it to Sister Queen Ifama because she was done. In fact, we got another call.
Hey,
just stay with me, brother. Just stay with me.
I just want to say this.
Sure.
There's one. She did one on reciprocity, and before I forget it, and that's the one I would recommend that if you look her up, type in Queen Ifama reciprocity. That was a very good one, and it straightened me out on a lot of things, man. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that in there.
Right on. In fact, maybe I try to find that one because I was going to play Baba Baruti, because she had almost a two-hour interview with Baba Baruti. I was going to play the second segment of it, which is about 40 minutes long. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but it's very good. It's a very good interview, you know. And so let me get to the other call, 470-470. Good afternoon. Or good afternoon. Okay, maybe they can't hear that one either. Okay.
Well, what? I didn't know that you had to push the star key twice to get
right.
in.
Well, not well. You really don't. That's only when I mute you, and the reason why I mute is because you get background noise, not intentionally, but you get background noise, and so therefore I mute the caller until I'm ready to talk to that or that person's ready to talk on the air. So we don't get that feedback and that background noise. That's the reason for that. So I'm going to go ahead and play a little bit of the one with her and Baba Baruti. This is part two of a longer conversation. Osafo, of course, is the warrior guide, the warrior's guide, that book that he Baba Baruti wrote and they're discussing.
And reading your book, I'm telling you, brother, you wouldn't believe this, but I got red, green, not red and green, but yellow, pink, highlights, flags, all types of, it's just, I'm basically the highlighted the whole book. And, some of the points that you have made in the book as far as the Europeans' influence. And on the sexualization of African people, could you give us a little rundown? Because, brother, I could have you on this phone for hours, I'm sure.
Well, the first thing I wanted to say was I need to hang up, and the reason I need to hang up because you've already explained it. After that, I remember giving a lecture before, and a guy stood up. He was supposed to make a statement after I did, and he said, enough said, and he sat down. Mm-hmm. That's what I feel like doing right now. Enough said. It's so scary to me what I see, and when people ask me about the book and they tend to ask, why did you write this?
Right.
It's because of what I heard from the students and what I knew their parents didn't know and what many of the teachers didn't know about how deep this insanity was running. Mm-hmm. The queen, and I keep bringing her up because, well, she's my compliment.
You got that right.
It's my basic conversation, like they say, when you're dealing with interracial couples. Who you sleep with is who you get your energy from, so you know what kind of energy black males are getting who sleep with white females.
Yes.
Her last year at Morehouse, she became disgruntled to a degree.
She was a professor as well?
Yeah, mm-hmm. she was in the English department. We came as a package deal.
Okay.
In fact, we met the first day of graduate school, and we've been pretty much together.
That's beautiful.
Since.
That's beautiful, well, Brother Baruti.
Well, thank you. It's been a good trip.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a trying trip, but I don't think that there are any relationships that aren't trying. That's how you grow.
That's how you grow. That's exactly how you grow. Because you're two individual people, so.
Yes, absolutely.
You know,
you learn that. I guess if you listen well enough, and you pay attention to what the voice inside says, then you end up picking somebody who has what you don't have.
Right.
So that together you can build something. Yeah.
That's right. That's right.
She became rather disgruntled her last year because she realized in talking to the students that when she would, unlike me, she would talk to them about what is morally correct.
Mm-hmm.
I would hit from other angles, but she would, in a motherly fashion, she was trying to explain to them.
Mm-hmm.
I was a child, we knew that we were morally correct. The Europeans were immoral when it came to sexual behavior. So if nothing else, we consider ourselves to be superior to Europeans in terms of sexual behavior.
Exactly, exactly.
And she became disgruntled because they didn't understand the history of Europeans. To them, what they saw or what they see today is the way that it's always been.
Like normal. Mm-hmm.
And they couldn't listen to her because what she was saying didn't make sense to them.
Right. It went against their norms.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
So when it comes back to me about changing the generation, the newest generation and everything after that, when I talk to folks about the sex imperative, one of the things that I like to say or analogy I like to give is that we're in sex education class.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have, I won't say an inclination, but we don't have a good idea about where we're going with this sexual behavior. Many of us, of course, don't care. We just think that we're American, i.e. European, because being American in terms of the structure of the culture and what we're following is simply European. This
mm-hmm.
is Europe. This isn't some new cultural place was not created in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean, the middle of the Hermetic Ocean, if you will. They came with themselves,
mm-hmm.
Which, of course, is, well, I don't want to get into homosexuality right now in terms of what was done to the males in the Middle Passage and before, because they didn't go to Africa and change their habits on the way down there.
Exactly.
There's
you know what, and you don't hardly find anything about homosexuality when you read the various accounts given by the, you know, the slavers and all of those people who were writing stuff down. You know, they talked about the, raping of African women, but you didn't see anything about the raping of African men, even though, brother, if you know their history, you know, going back to the Romans, the Greeks, and all of those other degenerates,
mm-hmm.
we know that it had to be going on.
Had to. There's, I guess, two quick points on that. One is has to do with John Henry Clark, his secretary, Anna Swanson, who thankfully lives here in Atlanta.
Mm.
She has a copy of that she, of course, got from him. I shouldn't say of course, but she did get from him. That is a copy of Christopher Columbus's log.
Mm.
And in celebration of their arrival on the islands,
mm-hmm.
He took, I can't remember if it was two or three boys into his cabin and sodomized them.
Mm-hmm.
That's in his log. That's in his ship's log.
Mm-hmm.
Also, when we look back, there essentially is no record. And the reason why there isn't a record, because they realize how repulsive
right.
idea of that was.
Mm-hmm.
So that was not part of their discussion. It's like the reason why, and this is related to the sex education class, the reason why Europeans have not revealed themselves, that rhetorical ethic that Marimane talks about, that lie that they have put out in terms of what they do and do not do, is because they know how repulsive that is to African people.
Mm-hmm.
So it's almost like, and it's more than almost like, but I'm going to fight with a different degree of righteous rage.
Mm-hmm.
Even though you invading my land, of course, I'm going to fight like crazy, but I might even have even more oomph in my fight if I know that you're trying to take over my land so that you can sodomize my sons and daughters?
Right.
You know,
right.
That takes on a whole different level of rage.
Mm-hmm.
So Europeans understood that there are certain things, if you want people to see you as superior over time and to come to want to be like you, there are certain things that they will not agree with, that they will reject you completely, wholeheartedly, and you will never be able to subintegrate them into your society to do your bidding without you even have to tell them.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those things, of course, is homosexuality and pedophilia, which is at the heart of European homosexuality. So that was not brought to our attention.
Mm-hmm.
The only record that I have come across that documents any form of homosexual behavior between European enslavers and Africans is this sister, Philadelphia, I can't remember where she's located at, but she talked about this concept called buck breaking. Buck breaking, like a deer buck.
Oh, buck breaking.
Buck breaking,
okay,
right.
Okay.
And what this involved was that the biggest, baddest black man on the plantation, the one who had caused the most trouble, he was held by two or three other black males. He was stripped. The entire group of enslaved Africans was brought out, made a circle. You know, his mom, dad, wife, daughter, son, cousins, nephews, nieces, all the people, all the Africans on the plantation brought out, made into a circle. And in the center of that circle, he was sodomized by the white master.
Mm.
And that was called buck breaking.
Mm.
And you can imagine what that does to somebody's mind. I can imagine that man still being in that same spot, refusing to move, refusing to hold up his head forever in his mind. I
and
can
bottle.
Imagine that.
You know what? That also speaks to the fact of the protective mechanism of the female.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Because you're going to, at all costs, try to protect your son,
yes,
the male you gave birth to,
yes,
from having to experience that. So what you do is you suppress,
mm-hmm,
his warrior-like instinct, his ability to want to fight back, to fight his oppressor. You suppress that because you've been shown what these people are capable of doing.
Mm-hmm. And you know they're capable of anything.
Right.
What we have to think about is that that hasn't changed.
Right.
Mothers are still, it's not just the prison system. Mothers, I shouldn't say mothers, African people, subconsciously,
yes,
so this stuff accumulates intergenerationally. It doesn't get lost. We recognize and know fully that Europeans will do anything to anybody for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
And we are especially afraid for our sons because we know that Europeans fear males more than they do females.
Mm-hmm.
So we will do whatever is necessary. Now, that's one of the reasons I would argue why we have a major increase in the number of effeminate males,
mm-hmm,
homosexualized males, because parents have developed not only a hands-off policy because you can't discipline your children and because you want to have them become successful in a society where being an effeminate male will allow you greater access to success because you're not seen as an aggressive black male, but also because you know about the fallout, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
So you know about when people had a revolt or went on revolt on a plantation or in the general area, and everybody or anybody who was anywhere near or who knew them or just happened to be in the vicinity was also killed,
mm-hmm,
as a result of this individual being stopped or captured or what have you. So you are afraid to allow your son to be in a position where he can even be misinterpreted as being revolutionary.
Now, Baba, hold up.
Yeah.
Hold the phone.
Okay.
Now, I found the article. Well, I didn't find it. It was sent to me in my email box.
Okay.
About black men quietly combating stereotypes. And in this article, which was out of Associated Press writer, somebody named Erin, whatever her last name is, she talks about how, you know, how we live in a nation that has biased views of black men and so forth and so on. But she says that what black men have to do, they have to learn to adapt. They have to. This brother was saying that he understood that by him being this 6'3", 6'7" lawyer who's dark skinned, that he has to be very careful about how he stands. He has to put his hands in his pocket. He has to make sure that his feet are close together, mm-hmm. so that he doesn't look as though he has a warrior-like stance. He has to use a softer voice. I mean, Baba, I am seeing this throughout the place, particularly in, with black males who are in positions of influence, as you so greatly pointed out to us, not power, but of male, black males who are, you know, in positions of influence. And I've noticed, since I've read your book, The Sex Imperative, I've noticed the voice softening of these brothers. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's just a whole lot of things that black men, and that Sister Shahawazad says, we don't understand the depth of what it means to be a black male in this society that is particularly male-dominated. The suppression of the black man, you know, and his ability to stand up to not just being a man, but to the definition that it's been given of manhood here in this country.
Oh, absolutely. I was sent that email, too. Mm. And the first thought that came to my mind was Negro logic. this is us trying to rationalize
right.
becoming somebody else's boy.
Yes.
If, you know, when here we go with Morehouse again. When
well, Bobby, you got to go with what you know, right? That's, you know, it's kind of like people who do those samples. That's just a sample. That's a microcosm of the macro.
Yes, absolutely. I haven't heard of one HBCU that isn't very similar in one way, shape, or form.
Mm-hmm.
When the students arrive at Morehouse, they are really inundated with the idea that you are the best of the best, that there is absolutely nothing that you can do. And then as they matriculate through the school, they learn or are taught or are retaught or what they have been taught before is extended, where they are told in a number of multiplicity of ways that you are supposed to go work for Europeans.
Mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
to me, that's like an absolute contradiction. If I'm the best, if I'm the best of the best, then why do I have to be trained to go work for somebody else?
Exactly.
If I'm the best of the best and there's something wrong with this world, or there's something wrong with this society,
mm-hmm.
then I have the power to create a reality in the image of my ancestors.
That's right.
That's absolutely, you know, not something beyond my... But at the same time, our sons and grown men, and I know some older men, because I know some boys who are in their 80s and 90s.
Yeah, so do I, Baba.
So you have a situation also where these boys have been removed from the process of struggle. So they have not learned, have not developed an inner strength that will allow them to deal with the difficulty of having to build something for themselves. So you have the reproduction of the slave mentality, the slave mind.
Mm-hmm.
So you have men who will come on and they will say, well, you know, I've been to the best law school in the world. I'm a lawyer. I'm good at this. I'm good at that. But I have to,
mm-hmm.
in order to survive, in order to get my check,
mm-hmm.
I have to bow down.
Mm-hmm.
I have to bend over. I have to do all manner of things in order for me to become successful. What kind of message does that deliver to children?
Exactly.
Are going to grow up in a world where, and this is a homosexual world, because we can talk about maybe at another time, maybe now, how to be European is to be homosexual. So you're talking about a homosexual culture, a homosexual people, and they are homosexualizing our people. And
right.
those people who become homosexual and feminized become economic leaders. They become supervisors. How are our children, who we've been raised to be staunchly African, to be heterosexual, how are they going to respond if they haven't been made strong through righteous, fair struggle? How are they going to respond when their supervisor tries to hit on them?
Mm-hmm.
Or when the supervisor said, well, you want to keep this job or you want to move in this job,
right.
and you're going to have to bend over.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're going to have things like this article where you have Negro logic rationalizing that we, in order to be successful, we have to be less than men.
Mm-hmm.
In order to be successful, we have to be less than women.
Right.
Yeah, we have to do whatever it is because they have the power and we don't. They have the influence.
Mm-hmm.
Without recognizing power, something comes from inside.
Exactly.
But it's these discussions have us believing that power comes from outside. Now, if I can could even think for, you know, to use us for an example, my wife and I were college professors.
Mm-hmm.
And because we said this doesn't make sense, because we said that we can't sit here and lie to our students, because we said that we recognize that if we wanted to be African in the truest sense of our ancestors, that we couldn't be at this institution because this institution could not tolerate
mm-hmm.
that kind of a center, then we recognize that the power came from inside and that there was no reason why we couldn't build our own.
Right, right.
So many of us are so afraid to step out because of the failure or the hardship. Yeah, it's been hard.
Mm-hmm.
When we left Morehouse, both of our salaries were cut in half. In fact, more than half.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're starting out a new enterprise, and we were starting out a homeschool program, I mean, you start out with three or four students, and they're only paying, you know, $350 a month. Then you're talking about some serious.
The parents are paying it, right?
Yes.
Okay.
In the city of Atlanta, the parents homeschool their children, so technically we're tutors.
Okay.
Because you can only homeschool your own children.
Oh.
But they're paying this tuition, so it was an extremely difficult process. But if you believe in something strong enough, like our ancestors believed in something strong enough, then there's nothing to prevent you from doing whatever it is to get done. But we don't believe that we had the power to do that. The contradiction and the lie of what we say when we say that we are the greatest, or I'm black and I'm proud, or, you know, stick your chest out with black first and all the rest of this stuff, it shows that that's a lie when you then, in the presence of Europeans, have to laugh at jokes that are not funny, that you have to bend over, that you have to put your feet together, that you have to walk like you're a white boy.
Right.
You know, that you can't raise your voice, that you can't gesticulate, you can't raise your hands and talk the way black folks talk.
Right.
That you can't move your head, that you know, you definitely don't even think about raising your voice because
not only is
that aggressive, but it shows that your talk is unintelligent, which is a European lie. Tried to corner me on that in class one day because when I'm teaching, I walk back and forth, I use my hands. This is the way we do. And the student tried to corner me saying that, well, the real teacher, you know, stands behind the podium, blah, blah, blah. I said, well, I'm not a white boy. That's not what my people do. My people are an emotional people. And
right.
I'll raise my voice when I'm talking about something having to do with our children.
Exactly.
Those are my children.
Exactly, yes.
There's an emotional component to it. I don't have to suppress that because that's the way Europeans do it.
Right. And
I'm
you
an
know,
African.
And you know something else, Brother? When listening to one of your interviews with Brother Keating, and I think you guys were talking about a woman's voice.
Okay.
And how a woman's voice should be soft and, you know, it should be soothing. And I'm listening, I'm like, I do not fit that category at all because I'm very passionate. Very, now I'm not the type that cuss people out and all that type of stuff, but when I'm in dialogue and I'm passionate about it, my voice does have a tendency to raise a bit, even unbeknownst to myself. And my husband has told me on many occasions, he's like, why are you hollering? And I'm like, I'm hollering? I don't even be aware because I'm so, you know, passionate about, because it seems to me I get confused that you, whether you can hear me or not, you're not understanding me, so I think you can't hear what I'm saying.
Right. Playing with my head, but it's right. Your voice is like most of the sisters that I know to some degree.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, just like looks, just like hair,
just
like physique, we equate being a beautiful woman with a white voice.
Exactly.
We equate being a beautiful woman with a certain type of hair.
Right.
Certain color hair.
Mm-hmm.
A certain physique.
Mm-hmm.
So all of it, just like we attribute being a man to a certain way. When I was coming up, if you saw a brother walking down the street, you knew that was a brother.
Right. Right.
You know, when I was growing up, you saw a sister walking down the street, there was no question that that was a sister.
Right. No matter what shade of
right.
She was. You knew it was something about them that let you know that that was a black person. Now, maybe the white person couldn't tell, but we know black people when we see black people, what we used to.
Absolutely.
Anyway.
We knew. And what has happened is that I said, this is a big conversation. The since the decline of the civil rights movement, the Black Power movement, all the rest of that, the Pan-African movement, for that matter.
That's right.
You have had the straddling the fence that's between Africans and Europeans has had less room. So people have had to make choices.
Mm-hmm.
Sort of like the McCarthy era. You've had to make a choice. Either you're African or you're European. And what we're seeing is the result of that. We're seeing more and more males who are choosing to walk, talk, think, behave, have the same sexual interests.
So for us, it is an either or. Am I correct?
Yes. And even though for some people that may be bad, I think it's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's wonderful because I need to know who my enemies are.
Right.
I need to know who's against me. And as this line is disappearing, then those folks who are Negroes, even when they're faking it, they have to show that. You have to. They have to let that be known. They have to let that be seen. So, in a way, I'm glad that this is happening, because then it's more identifiable. Somebody who, and I hate to pick on Haki, but somebody who, if Haki was always like this and he just did this because it brought him money and it gave him fame in a world that otherwise he couldn't get it, then I would see that earlier.
Mm-hmm.
I would know their confusion earlier. I would be able to identify them as a problem and somebody who I need not follow or look up to from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
The problem, I guess to come back to the second narrative, let me try to take this another way, because I was talking about sex education class.
See, Bobby, the thing about it is, everything we talk about intertwines because it all is related. It all has something to do with who we are as a people. So when we start talking about the sex imperative, then we'll go into a whole nother seemingly area of conversation. But it's all related when it comes to African and European people and what has happened to us and how we have been mentally castrated, for lack of a better word.
That's true.
You know, so don't apologize for, you know, going off what you think is the subject matter. It's all related. Everything is related to who we are as African people and how we stand on being African people and understanding our history and who we are. And I try to not say, well, we can recapture who we were as African people, because historically I think we have to do a little bit better.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Than, you know, where we were, because where we were is why we're here right now. But we can learn from some of our cultural values that we have, and also learn from some of our mistakes that we made in accepting other people's values and morals. And, you know, as we try to raise our own families and our children to create this nation of enlightened African people who I at this point consider new Africans.
I agree. Those are the words of Queenie Fama interviewing Baba Mwalimu Baruti, Safu, the warrior guide to manhood. That's an excellent book. Wow. You know, I'm just sitting here, and as I'm listening, thinking, what a jewel the queen was, or that she still is because of her influence. Because, like I said, you can go to YouTube, and there is a plethora of pieces that Queenie Fama had posted on YouTube, you know. And, of course, these interviews with Baba Rudy on his book, Asafo, the Warrior, a Guide to Manhood. That was part of almost a 2-hour interview. Brother LaRue Ned, you still with me?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah.
I'm still here. She had the insight, man. See, her logic, man, was just, off the chain.
Yeah.
Off the chain.
Well, you know, she is like me. There comes a time when you begin to fall in love with who you are as an African, you know, and then you begin to change the way you think and the way you look at yourself, and then you also begin to change the way you look at our at us. You don't blame us for all this misery and for all this. I mean, yes, we understand that it is our responsibility. We didn't get put in this. We didn't do this to ourselves. But it is our responsibility to get ourselves up out of it. And the only way that we can do that is through consciousness, through the development of consciousness, a conscious mind. I like the piece when she talked about the Amos Wilson book, The Falsification of African Consciousness. She said, first, there's a period that you go through black consciousness. As she was talking about that, I started thinking about me as I was, you know, growing up in the 60s and going through the black power movement, the black consciousness. You know, in fact, I've often said, Brother LaRue, the reason why we were not successful back then is because we didn't have African consciousness. We didn't tie it to us culturally. We were just wanting, I mean, the cracker had white power, so we wanted black power. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
See?
And the thing about it, you know, but we have to say that anybody who went through what we went through as a people, I think would have acted no differently than we acted or reacted in order to survive. And the thing that changed, that had the greatest influence on us, was slavery, and that's where the African got removed. And so after the Emancipation Proclamation, with the African being removed, we didn't have anything left but the European to go on, but we still had the African spirit, though. And so it's almost like we was reborn. I don't want to say reborn, but we went back to the beginning stages, and so that we have to redevelop. And the Queen touched on that when she called us new Africans. And that's why I think that we had to go through what we went through so that we could become new Africans.
New Africans.
New Africans.
You
touched on that.
Yeah. We got a caller. Right. We have a caller. 267. 267. Good afternoon, caller.
Brother.
Hello.
Good afternoon, Brother Oshi. This is Sister Susumi calling from Botswana. How are you? How's
Sister Susumi calling from Botswana. How are you, my dear?
Yes, indeed. I'm doing very well. Very well. Thank you.
Yeah, you sound
glad I'm finally able to connect.
Good, because you sound so clear. You sound like you're around the corner, dear.
You know, that's the beauty of this technology, right? We really have to utilize it to our advantage.
Yes.
And this is great. You've got this program, and now you're going to be having the whole African world, the Pan-African world on board.
So I hope so.
Love it. Thank you.
I hope so. Yes. I really do. And this is a great call. How are things in Botswana for you? I know you moved from here. You were in you were in Tennessee, weren't you?
Kentucky.
That's right. You were in Kentucky. Yes.
Yes.
And I know that you were glad to get. I know you were glad to get out, weren't you?
Oh, I was. It was long overdue. I talked about it for. You know, we all talk about doing certain things, whether it's repatriation or, you know, it's part of our re-Africanization and contributing to our struggle. And often we get lost in the words and the rhetoric, not intentionally, but I think circumstances lead to those situations. So I think at some point something happens and you just know you've got to do it now, you know, regardless of the consequences. And
exactly.
It's been a great day.
Beautiful.
It's really been great, Brother Oshi. I would encourage anybody who would like to do it to do it.
Well,
if not, we really need to all work locally, but still connect.
Yes.
On a global level, because that's the only way we as Africans are going to be successful.
There's no doubt. There is.
And gain our sovereignty.
That's right. There is no doubt to what you're saying, Sister Sumi, because if we don't unite as an African people, as an African family on the continent throughout the diaspora, then those who predict our doom would have been right. And I hate to think that. I really would hate to think that. You know, I know that the unification of African people is very difficult. It is extremely difficult, but we must continue relentlessly until we persevere and to break all those chains that are on our mind, all that ignorance, all that stupidity, all that lack of doubt, all that disunity, break all of that and coming together, because this is the only thing that are going to save us as African people. Otherwise, you know, we are truly doomed. We are truly doomed. And I appreciate you calling.
So true. And thanks for doing this. I wanted to call it a commemoration, I guess.
Yes.
This is a great evening listening to
thank you.
To you, you know, to the sister, and I feel she is with us.
Yes. Oh, believe me.
Grace is still here. I never got an opportunity to follow her when I was in the U.S.,
but
I did get a chance. Yes.
Now go ahead.
I never got a chance to know her when I was in Kenya, because I was there for almost 30 years, you know,
mm-hmm.
10 years initially, and then I came back home for six and a half years in the early 90s, and then I went back in 97, so this had been 21 years straight of being in the, you know, I was going back and forth visiting family here, but I never felt at home in the U.S., and I'll tell you, Brother Oshi, one thing that has humbled me greatly is the fact that, you know, here I was 17 when I first came to the U.S. and knew that was not home for Black people, myself and everybody else
mm-hmm.
was African, because of what I learned from Dr. Khalid Mohammed, which I'll always mention him because he had come to South Africa to speak.
Dr. Khalid.
Which is why I think this program, yes, he's the one who opened. I was in high school. He came and did a tour of South Africa.
Uh-huh.
And somebody gave me those cassettes. Before I even came to the U.S. So when I went to the U.S. as a student right out of high school, I knew that was not a, you know, place, you know, the country of milk and honey for our folks.
That's right.
So I was never disillusioned when I got there.
Good.
And that's exactly what I witnessed the whole time. But, you know, that's why this forum is so important. We have to connect, because anybody who hears the information, they may not be able to awaken
mm-hmm.
right away. But somewhere down the line, something changes, something happens. You are never fully unconscious
that's
when
right.
you hear that information. So that's who I attribute to this. But I got a chance to meet Mama Ya and Baba Barudi. I had met them at different sessions.
Yes, that's right.
And before I left, I made sure I just couldn't come back here without really getting some time with them. And they were kind enough to allow me time at their home. And I got to talk to Mama, to my sister.
Beautiful.
And, brought a bunch of books, which I
well, what you can also
so
do.
Thank you for bringing them on board.
Oh, no doubt, Sister Susumi. Sister Susumi, what you can do is go online to YouTube and put in Queenie Fama's name. You know, her last name is spelled I-F-A-M-A.
I wrote it down earlier when you mentioned it. So I'm going to
yes.
to go on YouTube and listen to her.
Yes, believe me, it is well worth it, you know. And
I'll tell you what I wanted to just, because I know our time is going to be short, and there's so much I'd love to share, you know, as time goes on.
Well, you know, Sisters Asumi, what you need to do then is we'll communicate so you can be on the program, and me and you will talk about what's going on in Botswana, what's going on in Southern Africa, what's going on in Africa, period, and how the repatriation program and things like that work. So enlightening our people, because, you know, just as I said to you the other day, I'm about to go to Ghana next, April 5th through the 21st, I'm going to Ghana. And my purpose, of course,
right.
is to lay the groundwork just like you did in terms of repatriating, in terms of going back home.
Right. I would love to do that. But I tell you, the issue of homosexuality, we are going to have to take that seriously, because that's going to destroy us
yes.
African people
yes.
if we are not careful.
Yes.
You know, South Africa now, as you know, they legalized same-sex marriages several years ago during the Obama era.
Yeah, during the Obama era, because Barack was Barack was going to African countries saying, if you want aid from the U.S., then all these restrictions, particularly as far as homosexuality is concerned, you cannot restrict. You know, and I was like, man, you know.
Correct. But the other, yes, but the other historical piece that's really important with these devils, I mean, you know, I can't imagine who else is a devil if they're not. But anyhow, is that really the first Europeans who came to southern, to Africa period in 1510, I believe it was in South Africa, in Cape Town. And you see, this is why I think the emphasis on us separating from them physically, it's so crucial, because everywhere they've gone, they bring all types of behavior, and then they indoctrinate us into. They came to Cape Town, and that's why now Cape Town, South Africa, so-called South Africa, is the capital city of homosexuality in Africa and maybe in the whole world.
Wow.
That's where they first hit the continent, was in Cape Town. And those were the Portuguese.
Yeah, yeah.
Cecil John Rhodes, who was stealing all the diamonds and minerals in southern
Cecil
Africa.
Cecil Rhodes, yeah.
He was a homosexual.
That's right.
You know,
Cecil Rhodes was a homosexual.
Talks about the rape of our young men in Africa. Yeah. Even the Catholic priests right now, I have yet to see any type of, commentary or information on any accountability being required of the priests in the continent, the Catholic priests.
Yeah.
And we all know they're not in the continent doing nothing. They're
right.
molesting our young men. And the third thing, Brother Oshi, before I get off the line, is that what they're doing in Botswana included. Botswana is still illegal in Botswana. But during Obama's era, I think South Africa legalized same-sex marriage before Obama. But what happened during Obama's era, in Botswana, where it's illegal, they were able to get an organization of these perverted people to be legalized. You know, so how do you have homosexuality being illegal, but then they have this group, whatever it is,
LGBT, right? LGBTQ,
which had been trying to register itself for years and denied because of it being illegal in the country. But during Obama's time, they ended up making the company legal as far as registration. So the question is now, how can they deny them, you know, eventually say, you know, they're going to argue that now that they're legal, they should be able to marry each other. But the people, you know, the people in the continent, even here in Botswana, are totally against it. But they don't have the knowledge of standing up for themselves.
I tell you,
you know,
sister,
they've been indoctrinated, and mental side is huge down here.
Yeah. I tell you, Sister Sumi, I gotta get ready to go, but we will definitely have these conversations. We will definitely have these conversations.
Thanks so much, Brother Oshi. I appreciate it, and I'm glad I was able to chime in tonight. Thank you very much.
No, please, thank you. Continue to listen, continue to support, continue to chime in. Next week Wednesday, I'm going to have Dr. Umar Johnson on the program. Dr. Umar.
I've had a chance of talking to him. Wonderful. Okay, great.
I'm going to have Dr. Umar Johnson on the program next week, Wednesday. So, Brother LaRue Ned,
yes,
got any,
sir.
Any closing remarks from you?
I can't think of anything right offhand. Man, that's beautiful, though. Ladies calling from Africa, South Africa.
Yeah.
Man.
I know. I tell you, that's what I'm saying. Queen Ifama started this. Imagine if we were on this program, if she was on Time for an Awakening and being able to put her information out there across the globe. Imagine. Believe me.
Yeah.
See, so that's why, to me, I'm in this position because of her, and I will always honor and respect her. And always, you know, there's a saying from Fannie Lou Hamer. I know everybody always quotes, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I like that, because I've shown the hell sick and tired. But to me, her quote that touches my heart is, never forget where you came from and always praise the bridges that carried you over. I will never forget me in the beginning of this radio piece with Ifama. And I will always praise her for bringing me over. So, Brother LaRue, thank you, my brother. Appreciate
you.
All right.
Thank you. Appreciate you.
All right. We end this program, like we end all of our programs, with the words of Stephen Biko. The most potent weapon in the hands of the oppressor is the minds of the oppressed. This program is dedicated and committed to helping to free the African mind. But not just the M-I-N-D, but the M-I-N-E, because under the feet of African people lies all of the resources that everybody wants, think they can't do without, and they don't want to pay for. Brothers and sisters, we appreciate you listening today. Once again, my heart and my feelings are for my dear queen, Queen Ifama. May you always rest in power. Brothers and sisters, Shem Hotep means go in peace. Asante Sana means thank you. Brothers, Bibi Fahodio. Bibi Fahodio means our victorious destiny. Bibi Fahodio family, next week, Wednesday, we'll have Dr. Umar Johnson. You can ask your questions. Peace, family.
Peace.